Unlock your Bible. Discover the true meaning of life. Learn the cause of world problems and the astounding solution. Prove for yourself what the future holds. In the Trumpet Literature Library, you will find answers to life's most important questions. Explore these vital titles on Trumpet Bookshelf.
Welcome to Trumpet Bookshelf. I'm Grant Turgeon. And if you're listening to this program on Friday, August 31st, at 10:02 a.m. Central Time, we are live. This is our first episode live, our eighth episode overall. And we're coming to you today from the Mail Processing Center in Edmond, Oklahoma, the upstairs radio studio. Today, we're continuing our review of the late theologian Herbert W. Armstrong's magnum opus, Mystery of the Ages. Last week, we covered the introductory material and the first chapter of this incredible book. This week, we will go through chapters 2 and 3. The second chapter of Mystery of the Ages is titled Mystery of Angels and Evil Spirits. In the last episode, we talked briefly about God commanding the Word to renew the earth, as outlined in Genesis 1. As Mr. Armstrong explains in chapter 2 of Mystery of the Ages, Genesis 1 verse 1 describes the original creation of earth, which took place probably millions of years ago. Genesis 1 verse 2 onward describe the renewal of earth just 6,000 years ago. Therefore, there is a gap of millions of years between Genesis 1 verse 1 and Genesis 1 verse 2. On page 46 of Mystery of the Ages, Mr. Armstrong writes, "Perhaps few realize the very first thing God created was not the earth, suns, other planets, the universe. Before all these, he created the angelic beings, a spirit world of myriads of angelic beings." Job 38, verses 4 and 7 say, "Where were you when I laid the foundations of the earth?" This is God speaking. Verse 7, "When the morning stars sang together, and all the sons of God shouted for joy." Since these sons of God cheered when witnessing the creation of earth, they couldn't possibly have been human beings, since naturally humans have always lived on earth. Sons of God here could only be referring to the angels. So, the angels existed before the earth was created. Here's a slightly longer quote on pages 46 and 47. "The great God through the Word first designed and created these spirit beings, angels, each individually created, millions or perhaps even billions of them. Angels are actual personal spirit beings, each having a mind of greater capacity and ability than human minds, capable of attitudes, purposes, and intentions. It is stated that even Jesus as a human was made a little lower than the angels," Hebrews 2 and verse 7. "They are composed wholly of spirit. They were given self-containing life, life inherent, immortality. They have no blood circulating in veins, and do not need the breath of air to sustain life, but have self-containing inherent life. Angels are, because created by God, called sons of God," Job 1 and verse 6, "but they were not begotten and born sons of God." It's hard to come up with an accurate analogy for this, but here is my best attempt. If I build something with my own hands, or I somehow create life out of nothing, which is actually impossible for humans to do, I might feel great happiness and pride about that accomplishment. But it wouldn't be anywhere near the same as if my wife gave birth to a son. There are different levels to the word son. God has created everything we see around us on this earth and in the entire universe. He's created millions of species of animals and plants. So all of these things are living, but some things have a greater potential or a greater capacity than others. Angels are obviously far greater than human beings right now, But in the future, human beings can actually become sons of God, part of the God family. That's something that angels don't have the opportunity to do. On Mystery of the Ages, page 48, Mr. Armstrong writes, "Humans are created a little lower than angels, though we have the awesome potential of becoming far greater. Yet still, the angels are stunning. They are incredible. If you look at, I believe it's Revelation 10 and verse 1, it describes the brilliant, stunning radiance of the angels. Their incredible power. In fact, if one of them ever appeared to us so that we could see them, we probably wouldn't live to tell of the experience. It would be so overwhelming. And yet God says we are going to become far greater than them." Continuing on page 48, this is just again to underscore how great the angels are. "Angels have seen all the activities of mankind on the earth and therefore know more about the human mind, psychology, sociology, science, and all the arts than any living man." They know our thoughts better than we do. They know our tendencies better than we do. They know way more about human history than any of us do. Angels are servants of God. Now that humans exist, angels serve us too. That's in Hebrews 1 and verse 14. God assigns different angels with different missions. Some have protected God's church throughout history. Some observe the conditions on earth and report back to God. Some protect specific individuals. Some will be gatekeepers in New Jerusalem. Some angels are messengers. There are different ranks of angels. There are only three archangels, the highest rank, mentioned in the Bible: Lucifer, who later became Satan, Gabriel, and Michael. God created angels with the ability to think, reason, and make decisions. They are not forced to follow God. As a proving ground for the angels, God later created the earth and the universe, most likely at the same time. By properly caring for the universe, the angels would affirm their allegiance to their creator. Probably millions of years ago, God placed a third of the angels on earth under the archangel Lucifer. They failed to establish God's government on the planet. Remember, Genesis 1 verse 1 describes the original creation of the earth. Let's look at verse 2. "And the earth became," it should read, "without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep." God would never create anything in a chaotic, disorganized, dark manner. Something must have happened. On page 57 of Mystery of the Ages, Mr. Armstrong writes, "The universal, worldwide sin of the angels resulted in the physical destruction of the face of the earth." And again on page 59, "Satan is the author of darkness. The rebellion of the angels had caused the darkness. God is the author of light and truth. Light displays and enhances beauty and also exposes evil. Darkness hides both." The question remains, what possibly could have gone wrong? Why did the angels rebel? God had created them perfect and shown them the way to lasting happiness and fulfillment. There was not yet a devil to sway and deceive the angels like he does to humans today. Angels don't have a carnal, fleshly nature like we do. Their first instinct would have been to think and act like God. We humans are the opposite. So what happened? The Bible reveals the answer, but not the time frame. We know that the brilliant Archangel Lucifer was the pinnacle specimen that God could ever create in an instant. You can see that in parts of Isaiah chapter 14 and Ezekiel chapter 28. We humans will one day be far greater than Lucifer ever was, but that process takes a lifetime. Isaiah 14 and Ezekiel 28 also reveal how Lucifer turned traitor, but we don't know how long he was on earth before making that dreadful decision. It could have been a day, or a year, or even many millions of years. Once the leader betrayed God, he persuaded the third of all the angels under him to do the same. We also don't know how long it took for Lucifer, who by then had become Satan, to flip the angels to his side. Here's page 66 of Mystery of the Ages. Mr. Armstrong writes, "I know well the method he used. He uses the same method still today in leading deceived humans into disloyalty, rebellion, and self-centered opposition against God's government. First, he turns one or two to envy, jealousy, and resentment over an imagined injustice, then into disloyalty. Then he uses that one or two, like a rotten apple in a crate, to stir up resentment, feelings of self-pity, disloyalty, and rebellion in others next to them. And as each rotten apple rots those next to it until the whole crate is rotten, so Satan proceeds." Now, if you ever begin to question the destructive effects of sin or breaking God's law, consider the following quote from Mystery of the Ages. This is page 68. "Evidently, if the now fallen angels had maintained the earth in its original beautiful condition, improved it, carried out God's instructions, and obeyed his government, they would have been offered the awesome potential of populating and carrying out a tremendous creative program throughout the entire universe. When they turned traitor on earth, their sin must have also brought simultaneously physical destruction to the other planets throughout the universe, which were potentially and conditionally put in subjection to them. Upon rebellion, Lucifer morphed into Satan. The angels transformed into demons. Being spirit, they can never die as penalty for their sins. Their choice to rebel is permanent, whereas humans can vacillate between doing good and evil. The demons' minds are permanently warped and perverted. But there is good news. Most of the angels remain loyal to God, even to this day. Also, the rebellion of the angels under Lucifer has opened up an incredible potential for mankind. I'm Grant Turgeon. You're listening to Trumpet Bookshelf. We'll be right back.
In the summer of 1926, Herbert W. Armstrong asked himself, "Who am I? What am I? Why am I?" He tried to reason out the answer, but he couldn't. It was a mystery. Not long after that, he was confronted with a mind-disturbing challenge on the theory of evolution and the question of Sunday observance. After many months of virtually night and day intensive study, the answers were revealed with proof that was positive and absolute. These answers and many more are thoroughly explained in Mystery of the Ages, which is available to you at no cost or obligation. Time has proven Mystery of the Ages to be the most important book written in nearly 1,900 years. This world's humanity has been blinded to who, what, and why man is, how man appeared on Earth. Man has been mystified by his inability to solve his problems or find answers to the perplexing questions of mankind and the world he inhabits. All these mysteries were long ago revealed, by the one supreme authority of all knowledge, but in a coded message not allowed to be revealed and decoded until our time. In Mystery of the Ages, these great mysteries of life are thoroughly explained in vivid detail. Request your free copy of Mystery of the Ages today.
Welcome back to Trumpet Bookshelf. I'm Grant Turgeon. You can send your comments, your suggestions, your praise, your criticism to comments@kpcg.fm. I'll do my best. I probably absolutely will read everything that is sent to that inbox. Again, that's comments@kpcg.fm. Today we're covering chapters 2 and 3 of the late theologian Herbert W. Armstrong's greatest book, Mystery of the Ages. Chapter 3 is titled The Mystery of Man. As we discussed earlier, the rebellion of the angels resulted in the physical destruction of the earth and the universe. Let's look at Psalm 104, verse 30, to find out how God solved this problem. You send forth your spirit, they are created, and you renew the face of the earth. Last episode, I explained how God commanded his eternal companion, the Word, to carry out the creation of the earth, and later this earth renewal project. The Word used the power of the Holy Spirit to fulfill God's command. As Genesis 1 shows, the Word renewed the earth in 6 days. This took place approximately 6,000 years ago. The earth was restored following the destructiveness of the demons, and once again, the earth was made perfect. But the earth was still in need of the finishing touches. Mr. Armstrong likened the earth at creation, and again after its renewal, to a piece of unfinished furniture or to a cake without icing. Both of these items may be flawless, but they may also be improved upon. You could add varnish to unfinished furniture. You could cut the cake into various shapes. You could put icing on the cake and finish it off that way. Those are ways to improve these items. God made the earth like this intentionally. First for the angels to try to add the finishing touches, and then for man to try after the angels failed. Let's take a look at the result. This is page 79 of Mystery of the Ages. Instead, man has ruined, polluted, defiled, deteriorated almost every portion of the earth his hands have touched or acted upon. So, man has failed to demonstrate obedience to God on this proving ground of earth, just like the angels did. However, we are made physical so that we can change our ways, which the angels cannot do. Again, on page 79, Mr. Armstrong writes, and this just about sums it up, a pretty long quote. Why did the Creator God put man on the earth? For God's ultimate supreme purpose of reproducing himself, of recreating himself, as it were, by the supreme objective of creating the righteous divine character, ultimately in millions unnumbered begotten and born children, who shall become God beings, members of the God family. Man was to improve the physical earth as God gave it to him, finishing its creation, which sinning angels had deliberately refused to do, and in so doing, to restore the government of God with God's way of life. And further, in this very process, finishing the creation of man by the development of God's holy, righteous character with man's own assent. Once this perfect and righteous character is instilled in man, and man converted from mortal flesh to immortal spirit, then is to come the incredible human potential, man being born into the divine family of God, restoring the government of God to the earth, and then participating in the completion of the creation over the entire endless expanse of the universe. That pretty much sums it up, like I said. Physically, there isn't much difference between humans and animals. evolutionists would have you believe that we are animals. And you see that perpetuated all the time, where animals are basically placed on the same level as human beings. People without children call their animals their children. And yet that does obscure the potential that human beings have that is far greater than the animals. Our brains are similar to animal brains, and yet we are far smarter and more capable. We possess a human spirit. The human spirit imparts the power of intellect to our brains. Human brain plus human spirit equals human mind. 1 Corinthians 2 and verse 11 says, For what man knows the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so, the things of God knows no man, but the spirit of God. Again, there are levels to this. Animals are the lowest level. They are a beautiful creation, but they operate solely on instinct. If humans take the time to teach them, they can learn a few rudimentary behaviors and habits. Humans have the human spirit that makes it possible to think, reason, make decisions, design, create, build, and appreciate art and culture. Animals lack this spirit, so they also lack the ability to do these things. Likewise, humans are on a level lower than the angels, and especially lower than God. The Holy Spirit sets God and His people apart from everyone else. With the Holy Spirit, humans can more deeply comprehend the things of God, who and what He is, His plan, His purpose for man, His law, and more. Humans apart from God's Spirit are completely ignorant of these subjects. The human spirit is also the vital link between man and God. Our human spirit can combine with God's Holy Spirit, making possible our eventual birth as invisible, immortal spirit sons in the God family. The process of physical reproduction and birth is a type of this miracle. With that in mind, let's get Mr. Armstrong and God's view on the question of abortion. This is page 84 of Mystery of the Ages. Mr. Armstrong writes, "The human spirit enters the human embryo at conception. It is this spirit that may, upon adult conversion, be united with God, with the Holy Spirit from the Creator God, impregnating that human with God life as a child of the living God, in a state of gestation, though as yet unborn. To destroy an embryo or a fetus in a mother's uterus is to murder a potential future God being. Therefore, abortion is murder." And that just shows you why we have to get God's perspective. We have to understand God's supremacy over our lives. If God doesn't rule us, then it is up to us to decide who lives and who dies. And that's a pretty alarming, scary concept to think about. The human spirit retains a mold of our physical form and shape, our personality and character and memories, and preserves all these characteristics for God's use after we die. When we die, we really die. We remain in the grave and experience not a second more of consciousness. You can see that in Ecclesiastes 9, verses 5 and 6. God, through the Word and through the power of His Holy Spirit, created the first man, Adam, toward the end of the sixth day of recreation week. He then thoroughly equipped Adam and his wife, Eve, with the knowledge and understanding of how to live according to God's law. All this is recorded right at the beginning of the book of Genesis. At this point, Adam and Eve had to hear the other side. Decisions aren't made after hearing only one side of the story. Satan, presenting himself as a subtle serpent, made his sales pitch to the first humans. He convinced Eve to take of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil instead of the tree of life. Eve was deceived. Adam wasn't, but he followed along. God sentenced mankind to 6,000 years cut off from him as punishment for Adam and Eve's wrong decision. The world we live in today is suffering as human beings strive to build society apart from God's laws. That's the cause of all the problems that we see. Man is cut off. Satan is the god of this world. 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 4. You won't find many people out there who believe that. Satan has deceived the whole world. Revelation 12 and verse 9. Now again, the deceived don't know that they are even deceived. So most people wouldn't believe that either. Satan and his demons are the cause of all the problems and evils that plague this world. To wrap up chapter 3 of Mystery of the Ages, Mr. Armstrong outlines a list of spiritual topics about which Satan has deceived all mankind, except for the few who are members of the Philadelphia Church of God today. I won't spoil the list for you. Read it for yourself and marvel. We'll end today's episode with one last quote from the book. This is Mystery of the Ages, pages 103 and 104. What then is man? He is a living being made from the dust of the ground. He is clay, and God is the master potter, molding, shaping, forming our character. If we respond when he calls and draws us to him, with our willingness, he is infusing into us his very own spiritual, holy, righteous, and perfect character. Why is man? God created man on the earth to build in us what the sinning angels refused to let God build in them, his perfect character. He is, in his time, order, and way, developing us to become very God, each of us, and to finish the creation of the unfinished universe. But, for now, we still live in this deceived world led by Satan. Today we have blazed through chapters 2 and 3 of Mystery of the Ages. Request your free copy of this inspiring book at thetrumpet.com. You can even start reading a digital version of the book at thetrumpet.com right now. Next week, we will tease and preview chapters 4 and 5. I'm Grant Turgeon. This has been Trumpet Bookshelf.
You've been listening to Trumpet Bookshelf. Please email your thoughts to comments at kpcg.fm. Listen for new episodes every Friday at 10 a.m. Central Time.